Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We are a day closer to the starting of Jazz Fest, which starts tomorrow. A lot of folks getting excited. Got a great show lined up for you today. We'll talk a little bit about Jazz Fest with Walt Leger, president and CEO of New Orleans & Company. He's going to join us in the 12 o'clock hour. We'll talk a little bit about what's going on in Baton Rouge. We'll talk about some of the other pending legislation, how that would impact tourism and the hospitality industry as well. At 11:30, Michael Heck joins us, president and CEO of G&O Inc. We'll talk about a number of issues that are impacting the metropolitan area from an economic standpoint. Nicholas Gernon, NOPD deputy superintendent, will join us coming out at 11 a.m. And we'll talk to him about the new administration under Chief Kirkpatrick, and we'll also talk to him about their feelings relative to some of the bills in the state legislature and the impending arrival of a new Troop NOLA with Louisiana State Police. Senator Kirk Talbot joins us right out of the box here this morning. He has Senate Bill 419. They are talking about creating a gun-free zone in the French Quarter. Senator, welcome to the show.
Hi, Noel. Thanks for having me.
So I know we haven't had any. Where do we stand? It doesn't look like that we've advanced the bill at all right now. Are you still trying to bring parties together to try and reach compromise as it relates to this bill?
Yeah, I mean, and let me just state that we're not trying to create a gun, quote unquote, gun-free zone in the French Quarter. What we really want to do is just keep it permit carry only in the French Quarter.
Right.
And really the first five blocks of Bourbon Street. The whole, if you're looking at a map of the French Quarter, the whole eastern side of the French Quarter is already gun-free zones because of there's schools there, and you know they have that 1,000-yard I think or radius of where you can't carry a gun within a school, and so the whole eastern part of the quarter really is already covered under that. My thing is really the first five blocks of Bourbon Street treated as a bar, because it is a bar. It's just a big open bar. And that's what we're trying to do. You know, having a little difficult trying to get the parties together on that. There's other ways we're looking at, you know, there's more than one way to skin the cat, as they say. So we're looking at other alternatives, you know, maybe giving the police a little more leeway on if they observe someone carrying a gun in a dangerous manner. For example, if someone has baggy sweatpants on and they have a Glock with an extended magazine sticking out the back pocket that looks like it could fall out and be a danger, then, you know, we want that policeman to be able to stop that person and prevent that. So it's a challenge. You know, that this is a conservative legislature. I'm a conservative. I'm an active hunter. I'm a big gun owner. However, I think Bourbon Street is a little bit different. You know, not many states or cities around this country have open container at all, much less a strip of blocks that has that many people that are excessively drinking in many cases. And, you know, the NOPD, for example, they picked up, I think, over 100 guns on Bourbon Street during Mardi Gras. When constitutional carry comes in, they can't do that for the most part anymore. And that's what I'm trying to solve.
What is the primary concern of detractors to your approach?
That we are limiting their gun rights. You know, that constitutional carry means constitutional carry, and there shouldn't be any carve-outs for that. So that's kind of the opposition, what we're heading up against. And we do have a bill. We're going to run it a week from today in the local municipal committee chaired by Chairman Bowie from New Orleans. So I think that's at 1 o'clock next Wednesday. So we're still working on what version that will look like. And, you know, I've consulted people in the legal arena, you know, policemen to try to help, you know, help me try to, you know, we took away reasonable suspicion from the police when you go to constitutional carry. So normally, and Noel, correct me if I'm wrong, because you know this better than anybody, if a policeman now sees someone walking down Bourbon Street with a gun in their coat, they can stop them and say, hey, you know, do you have a permit for that? If they don't have a permit, then they're breaking the law and they can, you know, confiscate the weapon and get that gun off the street. With constitutional carry, we can't do that anymore. And I voted for constitutional carry, but I do think Bourbon Street is a different animal. You know, that's it really is an outdoor bar.
So the detractors then are not comfortable with the gun-free zones or and the exceptions to that, whether it be courthouses, municipal buildings, ABO outlets, schools, hospitals, airport. They're opposed to all of those then, right?
I can't speak for them. I mean,
they're saying that they don't want another exception because they feel like it's an infringement. You're infringing on their right to carry a gun. They really don't like any exception. I raise the point is it makes it hard to reach a compromise with a group that's of that mindset.
It is definitely harder. It's definitely difficult to make a compromise right now. And, you know, we all want to support our police. And I think this puts the police, you know, I'll ask your opinion. It makes it more dangerous for the police on Bourbon Street. I mean, the bottom line is if we don't do something, there's going to be more guns on Bourbon Street anywhere you slice it. There's going to be more guns carried by legal people, responsible people like you and I, but there's also going to be, you know, you're not going to be able to pick up the guns for the ones that shouldn't have them on Bourbon Street.
No, there's no doubt. I mean, I don't think anybody can argue that point. Obviously, I'm curious though, Kurt, whether or not it's not maybe more appropriate to say because there's an ABO exception already, excuse me, maybe we just adopt the same ambit of protection area that you have with schools of, I think it's 1,000 right. feet. It may be 1,000 yards.
I think it's 1,000 feet. Yeah,
I think it's 1,000 feet. 1,000 feet around a barroom.
Well, that's one thought. And, you know, I look at what happened at Republic a week ago. If that was on Bourbon Street, how many, you know, the amount of people on that street, you know, those bullets got to land somewhere, you know, and it's not like you're being accosted in your front yard and, you know, you need to use your weapon to protect your life. And I'm all for that. But, you know, on Bourbon Street, you know, that bullet's going to hit people. And, you know, that's the compromise we're trying to strike, you know, is, you know, we want people to be able to protect themselves, but we also, I think Bourbon Street is a different animal. And I think that's a unique situation. And I think it needs to be, you know, looked at differently.
Yeah. I mean, I think your approach is spot on because the reality is that if you want proactive policing, you need to be able to give the police the tools necessary to do so. When you remove that tool, it becomes very, very difficult. There are some very unique things about Bourbon Street. So if you know, I know there are others that would want it expanded to other areas. It may make sense, but no other area makes more sense. And I think that's what you're saying than Bourbon Street.
Look at the pickpocketers. I mean, you know, if you're carrying a gun, I mean, we were down there for Mardi Gras last year and my wife had her phone pickpocketed and 8 of our friends within 5 minutes had their phones pickpocketed. You know, if you're carrying a gun just kind of haphazardly in your back pocket, you know, and that gun, you know, that's a dangerous situation. And especially if it could easily fall out or something like that. So You know, we're looking at all kind of ways to you know, make this better, and it's a work in process. I mean, but we're going to have a bill Wednesday, and we're going to run it Wednesday, and hopefully we'll be successful with that.
You know, I keep hearing about other states and what they do, and when I go look at other states, there's so many nuances and circumstances surrounded these areas where they have a high concentration of individuals, high concentration of alcohol consumption, bars, live entertainment, and the like, that the way that we are treating Bourbon Street right now relative to the bill that's going to go into the law that's going to go into place, what I believe July 1st or July 4th, one
right.
of those dates, it's entirely different. There's no other
it
one
is.
That squares up on all fours to what we're about to do. We are about to embark upon the most liberal approach there is of any other area in the country. And, you know, when people say, well, what about this area? They it seems to work over there. Yeah, go look at why it's working over there, because they have nuanced circumstances different than what we're going to do here.
And look, on Beale Street, in Tennessee is a red state. Tennessee is a constitutional carry state. On Beale Street, it's my understanding at dark, they wind you on Beale Street. Now, Beale Street, I think, is a lot shorter than Bourbon. You
sure.
know, a little more, maybe it's, you know, I haven't been on Beale Street in a while, so maybe that's a little easier to do. I don't know if we have the main.
My daughter went to school there, was on Beale Street probably, I don't know, 50 times. I mean, go through a magnetometer.
They
wand you and you go through a magnetometer and they check
right.
bags. So
that's right. I don't know if that's realistic on Bourbon. It's just so big and so.
Yeah, it probably not. You know, there's more ingresses and egresses on Bourbon than there is, you know, obviously on Beale Street. But the fact of the matter is that it's a classic example and a great, point that you're making is they've made accommodations for a lot of these things. And in other areas of Tennessee, they're parks and you can't carry weapons in parks. So they designate other areas parks. And, you know, so
right,
there, as you said, there's more than one
state.
Way to skin a cat, but it seems as
right.
though I got to imagine they went through they had the same opposition there that we're having here, that we're trying to beat back here.
Probably. Look, Tennessee is a red state with a lot of conservative legislators, and they recognize the fact that Beale Street, that this could be a problem. And they, you know, you can be a conservative pro-gun person and also recognize that this situation could be dangerous, and maybe we need to do something to address that.
The other issue too is that historically we've had a disproportionate number, a high per capita number of gun assaults, far greater
right.
than they ever had in Tennessee.
You're and, probably right. I'm sure
and,
that's right.
And you know, it's interesting how people just want to walk right by the obvious, you know, stare the obvious in the face, excuse me, and walk right around it.
Right.
I don't know all the reasons why that is. That's an outcome. That's the what. I don't know why. I have a pretty good idea, but it's a very complex formula, one that's going to take generations to beat back and resolve. And it seems as though we don't even want to take it into consideration when we're trying to debate this bill.
Well, and again, you know, this bill came to my attention, or this idea, when law enforcement reached out to me. And look, I have a business on Bourbon Street, so, you know, I have a lot of experience down there. But when members of the 8th District reached out to me and said, hey, we got a problem, you know, that's how this bill came about.
We'll be talking about it with Deputy Superintendent Nicholas Gernon at 11 o'clock. I mean, I know he went up to Baton Rouge.
I'll be listening.
I believe testified, yeah. Right?
Yeah, he
before,
did on Alonzo
before
Knox's
the committee on Representative Alonzo Knox's bill. And
right.
The reception was chilly, right. I guess at best is one way of of putting it, right?
I think it was, but I also think that there was some good discussion, and I think that there were a lot of members of that committee that recognized the challenges that this could cause when this bill goes into effect July 4th.
Senator, let me ask you this. Not a lot of days left in this session, and if this bill doesn't start to advance, is it possible that we run out of time?
I don't think, not yet. You know, I think we're okay. I mean, I would think after next week, you know, this is the first step of this bill out of a, you know, I guess a 5-step process. I think after next week, you need to start worrying a little bit. But we're okay on time. We're okay on time.
Okay. Final thoughts?
You know, I just hope that that logical, cool heads can prevail here. And, you know, I'm open to any suggestions. I have shopped this bill around for ideas with all sides, you know, with the NRA, with district attorneys, with prosecutors, with police, to try to see, you know, what we can do. And, you know, I'll be working up until the 1 o'clock on Wednesday when this bill gets presented. So it's a work in process. And if you have suggestions offline, you know, please call me. We talk all the time, and I appreciate your input and your experience in law enforcement.
Well, I appreciate you willing to receive that info. If you don't mind, I'd like to ask you one other question. Where are we on HB 800 relative to this constitutional convention? Is this advancing? And your thoughts?
I think it's pending House floor vote. You know, it's look, I think we need a constitutional convention. I'm undecided on whether this is the proper way to do it. I can tell you as a legislator, you know, it's my understanding that this constitutional convention would take place in the last 2 or 3 weeks of session. That is an extremely busy time. You know, that is a time when you've got bills everywhere. You're trying to read conference reports. You're trying to read amendments. The way the makeup of the constitutional convention is, you know, we would not be able to meet in this building because it's 105 members of the House, 39 members of the Senate, 27 members that are appointed by the governor. So are we going to go off campus for a whole day the last 2 weeks of session when we're all trying to get our bills together? You know, but I am open to it, and I'm willing to listen. I do think we need to do it. I mean, you know, if our Constitution is outdated, it's been added on to a gazillion times. We don't have flexibility with the budget. So, you know, we always have to cut higher ed and healthcare if you know, when we run deficits. So there's I commend the governor for recognizing the fact that we got to do this. I'm just undecided on whether this is the proper time and vehicle to do it. But I'm keeping an open mind.
Are you comfortable with the process without any citizen involvement or representation?
A little uncomfortable. You know, usually, you know, like in 1970, I guess 72, when you did a constitutional convention, it was a much bigger deal, electing members and all that. Now, the difference between what the governor wants to propose and back in the 70s, we were rewriting the Constitution, right? We were eliminating offices. We were creating offices. We were doing a lot. What he has told us is we're really just pulling things out of the Constitution that never should be there, that should be in statute, which I totally agree with. So it is a big difference between this and what has happened in the past.
But when we say which should never be there, it's kind of an interesting perspective. The people voted on that.
They did. They did. And
so
you're right.
How do we have such a cavalier attitude about that? And we say, well, it should have never been there. Says who?
I guess it's, you know, for
says right. Jeff Landry. I mean,
right.
I mean, right. And I mean, I'm not trying to be disrespectful to the governor, but I mean, you know, you have a lot of people that voted for a lot of good reasons.
Right.
And I understand that it's complicated, this document. But a lot of the reasoning behind the amendments to the Constitution, it would be hard to argue that they don't still exist today, right?
Yeah. And look, things like, you know, if they want to raise the fees for wildlife and fisheries, but they only want that to be funded from, you know, raising the price of a hunting license. Well, we'll put that in the Constitution because we don't trust the politicians to spend their money elsewhere. Those are the kind of things that are in there that, quote unquote, should not be in there. You know, I mean, if you look at other states' constitutions, I think it's Massachusetts has the same constitution they had when they were chartered in the, I think, 1700s. You know, we put things in there because we don't trust state government how to spend it. You know, we're trying to change that perception here, and I think we're doing a good job of it. But it is a very inflexible process. And, you know, when you have to pivot and when you have to shift money here and change priorities spending-wise, you simply – our hands are tied. I mean, almost all of the budget is tied up in either in the Constitution or in statute. So some of it is in statute, which we can change. But – you know, those are the things.
I guess
that,
my biggest My biggest point, though, is how do you establish or reestablish or regain or build public trust by not allowing public participation? It seems a little counterintuitive to me. I mean, and that's what I'm hearing from constituents. I don't understand that.
Well, keep in mind, if we do change the Constitution, the public will have to vote on it. So the public can decide if the changes we made are acceptable or unacceptable. So, you know, there is that process as well.
Then what? I mean, you know, I got to...
Well, if it fails, you know, go back to where we are.
I mean, look, you study politics like I do. It's hard to go past that stuff. And if it fails...
It is.
You know, what happens then? I mean, you kind of box yourself into an all or nothing
situation.
Yeah, you you almost eliminate the possibility of moving forward, as opposed to having a more deliberative, open, transparent, set aside process.
Right.
I mean, I don't think anybody argues that it needs to be changed.
Right.
Why now? Why the exigency?
Exactly. Right. Well, right. And that's where, what we have to decide as lawmakers. Is this the right time, or do we do it sometime in the summer, or do it sometime in August? And, you know, that'll be that.
Well, as always, we truly appreciate your time, Senator Kirk Talbert. You've always been open and receptive, you know, to our calls, and we appreciate that as well. Have a great week, and I know y'all are busy, and thank you for your service. Alrighty, folks, that's Senator Kirk Talbert from Jefferson Parish. We will be right back, 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line. Stay with us.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back, folks. Let's go to the talk lines. Let's go to Mason. Mason, you're up. Welcome to the show. What say you?
Hey, Sheriff, first of all, I want to thank you for your service. And I'm a retired lieutenant from NOPD. And I want to bring to your attention House Bill 42, which may risk the retirement benefits for the MERPers funded status. And it's going to decrease the COLAs for retirees and increase the employer contribution rate for everyone else. And protected municipalities that refuse to contribute and enroll their officers is headed to the Senate floor soon. And if this bill goes through, it's not going to be conducive to new officers joining the police force, and it's going to water down the whole system and relinquish control of the board of MERPers. And I want to put that on your radar. And so you know it.
Yeah, I'll go look at House Bill 42. I haven't looked at it. I have some very strong opinions about the appropriate funding. So I'm not sure, Lieutenant, whether or not you and I are going to align on this issue. You know, in our pension fund in the Sheriff's Association, our contribution rate was always about 1.5% less than the employer contribution rate, which is not the case in EMPERS. And, you know, and that's why it's actuarially underfunded today and continues to be underfunded. And it actually finds itself in a very unhealthy financial position. And there are only a couple of ways of getting out from that. And to give you an example, in the Sheriff's Pension and Relief Fund, we don't vest till 20 years. And I actually thought that that would be a problem in recruiting, and it's turned out not to be. But the fact of the matter is unless we get into some semblance of pension reform, these legacy costs will actually kill local government and state government because they can't support it any longer. I was talking to some folks and some chiefs the other night. Employer contribution rates in the neighborhood of 25 to 30 some odd percent, and employees were at 7. You just can't have that disparate number and come out. It's impossible. And, you know, so something's got to give. There's obviously a balance of interests, and it should be that we start to standardize the manner in which we manage these dollars and manage these funds. And look, I'm the beneficiary of a very healthy fund. I'm very thankful for it. But they were our folks were very good stewards of that money for a long, long, long time. And it just doesn't happen. You got to make it happen. But I'll look at it, and I'll talk about HB 42. Thank you so much for the call. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line. Got a survey from Senator Pat Connick. He's been very open about where he is. He is adamantly opposed to the public records bill. I had him on yesterday. He's one of the few Republicans that have gone public in his opposition to that bill, bucking Governor Jeff Landry and his desire to limit what the public's access to that bill is. He went out and he surveyed his constituents on a number of issues. And I think it's worth reading the outcome of this in Senator Pat Connick's District 8. First question, do you support the construction of the Mid-Barataria diversion? 493 respondents, 65% of the 493 yeses, 260 noes, which is 65-35. And these numbers are very similar in the total number, so I'm not going to read them all. Do you support legislation that would allow for an abortion in the case of rape or incest? 82% of the respondents say yes, 19% of the respondents say no. Do you support the banning of speed cameras in Louisiana? 66% of the respondents say yes, 34% say no. Do you support making Bourbon Street a gun-free zone? 75% of the respondents say yes, 25% of the respondents say no. The state's temporary 4.5% sales tax generates approximately $450 million in funding. Do you support making it permanent? 53% of the respondents say yes. 47% say no. If the temporary sales tax is allowed to expire on July 2025, do you support cutting state services? 37% say yes. 63% say no. Do you support revoking the 2016 Raise the Age law, which allowed 17-year-old offenders to be tried in juvenile system instead of the adult system? 49% say yes, and 51% say no. Do you support legalizing the sale and distribution of marijuana? 388 of the respondents say yes, and 435 say no. And I apologize, the percentage numbers got cut off on the printed version. Oh, it's here. It is. 47% say they support the legalizing of and distribution of marijuana, and 53% say no. Do you support expanding methods for carrying out the death penalty? 68% say yes. 32% say no. Do you support education savings accounts to pay for private school tuition or other private learning experiences? 52% say yes. 48% say no. Do you support bringing in state police to provide additional law enforcement support in New Orleans to address crime? 89% of the respondents say yes. 11% say no. Do you support having the state's attorney general prosecute criminal cases in New Orleans? 76% of the respondents say yes. 24% of the respondents say no. Do you support legislation to prohibit insurance rate discriminations based on risks classified by gender? 58% say yes, and 42% say no. Do you support legislation that would require builders in Louisiana to construct more durable and wind-resistant roofs and structures as a means of lowering risk and attracting more insurers to Louisiana? 93% say yes. More onerous building restrictions. Only 7% say no. Do you support equal pay? 89% say yes, 11% say no. Do you support increasing the minimum wage of $7.25 an hour, which has not been increased since 2009? 82% say yes, 18% say no. Just got a couple more. Do you support pay raises for teachers and support workers? 85% say yes, 15% say no. Do you support legislation to require state Medicaid recipients to be assessed a copay for medical services? 57% say yes, 43% say no. Do you support adding work requirements as a condition to Medicaid eligibility? 73% say yes, 27% say no. Do you support approval of more funding to secure facilities that house violent juvenile offenders? 84% say yes. 16% say no. Do you support laws requiring restaurants and vendors to declare on their menus and ice chests whether their seafood is domestic or imported? A whopping 92% say yes. 8% say no. Do you support laws making it a crime to use artificial intelligence, creating images and voice technology to intentionally deceive the public? 95% of the respondents say yes, and 5% say no. So this is where Senator Pat Connick's constituents are in their feeling about a number of these contemporary issues that are being dealt with in the state legislature. Not all of these, but a lot of these are being dealt with in the state legislature as we speak. And what's compelling, just as we talked to Senator Kirk Talbert, in District 8, in Senator Pat Connick's district, 75% of the respondents support making Bourbon Street a gun-free zone. We'd love to hear from you. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line. We'll be right back, folks. Stay with us.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend, or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe? Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Ready to go to the biggest ever Jazz Fest? Experience the music, food, and culture of Louisiana, plus great artists like Foo Fighters, Neil Young, Bonnie Raitt, Queen Latifah, Hozier, Greta Van Fleet, Trombone Shorty, and more. Just listen to Tommy Tucker, me, Scoot, and Sports Talk for the Jazz Fest password of the day. Then go to WWL.com/contest. That's WWL.com/contest. And register to win a pair of tickets at the second weekend of Jazz Fest, plus round-trip Jazz Fest Express shuttle passes. Happy festing from Miller Lite, the official beer of Jazz Fest. And WWL. I want to thank the folks out at Miller Lite. We're going to be out there Friday broadcasting live from Jazz Fest. Really looking forward to it. We have a wide array of guests that we're going to bring on to kind of show you and reveal a little bit more about what's going on in the background of that operation. And it is a major undertaking. I'm just always amazed by what's going on there. Got a number of texts asking me what these results were. This was a survey recently conducted by Senator Patrick Connick from Jefferson Parish, Republican. He's elected in District 8 of his constituents. And roughly, I guess, numbers right around 800 to 1,000 respondents in his district. So it would be statistically significant in that perspective. And I think it's very telling. As to the results here of where people are on a number of issues that are being not only debated and bantered about in the state legislature today, but others as well. And it seems as though, when we talk about, as I pointed out, Bourbon Street being a gun-free zone, 75% of the respondents saying, yes, that's they think that would be a good idea. If you want to expand the methods for carrying out the death penalty, like 68% of the respondents say yes. A very slim majority support education savings accounts to pay for private school tuition or other private learning experiences. 52% are in support of that. 89% support the state police coming in and helping out. And, so there's a lot of different issues here, and it's going to be interesting to see where this ultimately plays itself out. I wish there would have been two other questions on here. One, whether or not you support this constitutional convention. I would have been interested to hear what people think about that. And I would have been interested to hear about what people think about the Public Records Act and changing that and making it more difficult for the public to gain access to public records. These are two fundamental changes that impact the rights of you as taxpayer and voter citizens in the state of Louisiana. I think we need to push back on both of these. It would be worth your while to call your legislators, both senators and House members. You can simply Google, get the list. Not a problem. The numbers are there. And let them know where you stand on these issues. Is Pat Connick the senator for all of Jefferson Parish? The answer to that question is no. His district is predominantly on the west bank of Jefferson Parish. He is a Republican. And thus far, the only Republican that has really stepped out publicly and talked about this Public Records Act bill, saying that this is a bad bill. I interviewed him yesterday, and He was honest and to the point. He didn't mince words. He doesn't see where this is good from any perspective. And it's going to be interesting to see a number of his peers, he says, seem to have the same feelings that he does. Many waiting to see what's going to ultimately happen before they let the public know where they stand on that issue. I think they should lead from the front. I think they should step out right now and say where, as it relates to this bill, in the posture that it is, where it is right now, do they support it or not? Plain and simple. Doesn't get any more straightforward than that. We'll be right back, folks. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. Stay with us. So it's interesting. I did not realize that this is actually what's going on relative to the Constitutional Convention. The governor just posted that if you're tired of going to the polls to vote on lengthy and convoluted amendments, we must fix our Constitution. This should be the job of the legislature, not the people of Louisiana. I had no idea that this was all about your time management and making it more convenient for you. Oh, well, I was wrong.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.